B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. We're going to start 11 lines from the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav Omud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Mechatchin esadluin lifnei habehema. Even though these dluim, the gourds or type of vegetables, they are, when Shabbos came in, they were dedicated and they were set aside to be used for food for man and not to be used for an animal. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says you're allowed to cut it for an animal, even though, according to the rules of Muktzah, since it was set aside to be used for man, not for animals, then relative to the animals, it should be Muktzah. Nonetheless, you're allowed to cut it for the animals, and this is the opinion of Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold of most of the halachas of Muktzah. That's how Rashi seems to learn here. The Ritva goes at length to question Rashi. We don't find any such thing where it's food that's capable and is ready and worthy to be eaten by man, that he shouldn't be allowed to give it an animal. There's no such thing. He suggests maybe in the middle of Shabbos, these deluin became improper to be used for man, and now they became ready to be used only for animals, in which case it would be Muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda. Either way, that's the poshut pshat here. If you had an animal that when Shabbos came in, bein hashmoshes, it was still alive. If it was still alive, then as far as the intentions of its owner was that ultimately it was going to become food for man. Not this Shabbos. You can't shecht it this Shabbos. That's an issue in its own right. But it's definitely been set aside to be used for food for man. And then on Shabbos, this animal died. Now, all you can do with it is give it to a dog, give it to an animal. So, it should be mukta. Since it was set aside for Odom, for man, no, the Mishnah says, "Es anavela lefnei aklovim," you can cut up this nevela and give it to your dogs. Again, this is Reb Shimon, who does not hold of most of the halachas of mukta. Reb Yehuda Oimir, "Im lo yhoyso nevela me'erev Shabbos," Reb Yehuda says, if this animal was alive when Shabbos came in, if it was not a nevela, it wasn't a dead corpse of an animal before Shabbos came in which case, from the onset of Shabbos, it was set to be animal food, asura, then you're not allowed to give it to the animals because it's muktzah. Lefi she'eino min hamuchan, you're only allowed to touch something on Shabbos if it's been prepared for the use that you want to use it for. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Oreil Shachaz, Simon. This is a Simon where there's going to be two lists of Amiroim. Three of them are going to hold of Reb Shimon. Three of them are going to hold of Reb Yehuda. One group is Oreil, the other group is Shachaz. Says the Gemara, Omar Ula, that's the Ayin of Oreil. Halochik Reb Yehuda. Ula says the Halochik in Mukta is like Reb Yehuda. Shmuel Omar Halochik Reb Shimon. Shmuel says the Halochik is like Reb Shimon, that there's no Mukta. Va'af Rav, that's the Reish, Sovar Halochik Reb Yehuda. Mid Korchi Dezuza. Regarding the mats that they would use to cover the wares that they would put on the ships, and it's been dedicated to be used for something that one doesn't use on Shabbos, are you allowed to use these mats on Shabbos? The Rav Osar. Rav said there was Osar. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Since it was set aside to do one thing, you're not allowed to use it for something else. Well, Shmuel says it's mutar. He holds like Rabbi Shimon. Va'af Levi, that's the Lamed of Oril. Sovar Alochak Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is an issa of mukta. Ki hod levi ki have a maisa treifus alekamei b'yoyim etova. When they would bring an animal that there was a suspicion, maybe they suspected it might be treif on Yom Tov. Lo yehave chozi le elo ki yosva akil kilto. He would only be prepared to inspect this animal if he was sitting right near a garbage dump, and the animal would be placed on the garbage dump, and then he would inspect the animal. The Omar, he said, Dilma loy miskashra, maybe it's going to be treif, v'afilu leklovim leichazya. And since when Yom Tov came in, this animal was set aside to be used for food for man, even though if it became treif, and it would now only be proper and fit to be given to animals, nonetheless, it's mukta. You cannot give it to the animals. So therefore, Levi held that he's going to inspect it when it's on the garbage dump, and that way, if it's treif, he'll just leave it there. So you see that he holds like Reb Yehuda. According to Reb Shimon, even though he had in mind to use it for man, but that doesn't make it mukta, that in the event that now it needs to be used for animals, according to Reb Shimon, you would be allowed to give it to an animal on Yom Tov. It's not mukta. Shmuel Omar Alocha Krev Shimon. Shmuel says this is the Shin Chazayin. The Shin is of Shmuel. He holds the Alocha is like Reb Shimon, as we saw. V'av Ze'iri, that's the Zayin, Sovar Alocha Krev Shimon. Titnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Behemo Shameso, an animal that died on Yom Tov. Loi Yazizeno b'mekoimo. Mimuk, you're not allowed to move it from its place. The Tirgum is Ze'iri, and Ze'iri explained the reason you're not allowed to move it from its place is Behemas Kochim. It's talking about this animal is hektish, and since it's hektish, you're not allowed to give it to the dogs, even though it died. And even Reb Shimon will agree in that case that it's mukta. Aval b'chulin, but if it's an animal which is, does not belong to hektish, even though when Yom Tov came in, it was set aside to be used for man, it's not mukta. You can give it to your animals now that it died. Aval b'chulin shapir domi, you can give it to your animals, it's not mukta. So you see, there's the eerie holds like Reb Shimon. Vaf Reb Yechanon, this is the ches of Shachaz. Vaf Reb Yechanon omar alochok Reb Shimon, that the alochas like Reb Shimon, that most of the alochas of mukta do not apply. He doesn't hold of mukta. Umi omar Reb Yechanon hochi, can Reb Yechanon possibly hold like Reb Shimon that there's most of the alochas of mukta do not apply? We know that Rabbi Yechanan has a rule. The halacha is always like an anonymous Mishnah. And we're going to find a number of anonymous Mishnahs that seem to rule like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is mukta. How can Rabbi Yechanan rule like Rabbi Shimon that there's no mukta? Utnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Meseches Beitza. Ein mevak in eitzim min akoiris. You're not allowed to split, you're not allowed to take off a little bit of wood from a stack of beams that have been set aside to be used for a building, and not from an old beam that got broken on Yom Tov, Shanishbara b'Yom Tov, and since when Yom Tov came in, it was not set aside to be used as firewood, you're not allowed to take off some of this wood in order to use it as firewood, even though at this point it's broken. According to Reb Shimon, it should be muta, because Reb Shimon will say it's true that this Kaira, this old beam, maybe was not set aside, it wasn't broken yet, so it wasn't set aside to be used as firewood, but that doesn't mean it's mukta. He doesn't hold that that makes it mukta. If on Shabbos it broke and you decide to use it for firewood, you'd be allowed to. And the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. So you see the Mishnah rules like Rabbi Yehuda. So how can Rabbi Yechanan rule like Rabbi Shimon? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, Hahu, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Yehuda, Masnilo. Rabbi Yechanan holds that that's not an anonymous Mishnah. He holds that that Mishnah is actually Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Yehuda. And it could well be, according to Rashi on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, that in Rabbi Yechanan's version of that Mishnah, it actually said, Divrei Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Yehuda, rendering that Mishnah not an anonymous Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, Toshima. Maschilin ba'arimas hateven. If you have a stack of straw, and which was not, you have not yet started using it for animal food before Yom Tov, and it was not going to be used for animal food, you're allowed to, on Yom Tov, start using it for animal food. Avaloi be'etzim shebemukta. But the woods in the backyard, you're not allowed to use those for the animals on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to start using them on Yom Tov. Why? Because the Arimas HaTeven, since it was foul straw, there it was set aside from before and it was always intended to be used for animal food. So it was not mukta. But the woods in the backyard, which is called the mukta, those woods are actually mukta in Hilchas Shabbos terms, because they're not set aside to be used for animal food. So, and this is clearly a Mishnah that holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that mukta is asa. So how can you, Rabbi Yechanan, hold like Rabbi Shimon? Answers the Gemara, Hosom ba'arzi va'ashuchi. Over there we're talking about different types of cedar woods. The mukta machmas chisorin kis. Over there, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that they're mukta. A filler of Shimon Moida, Reb Shimon holds that if you have something that's very valuable and you don't use it for anything besides for what it's been dedicated to be used for, then Reb Shimon agrees that that excludes any other use, and to use it for anything else is mukta. And therefore, the Mishnah there is not only Reb Yehuda, it's even following Reb Shimon, so it's not a question on Reb Yechanan. Continues the Gemara, Toshima, Ein Mashkin v'sheichtin es hamidboreis, aval mashkin v'sheichtin es habesiyos. You're not allowed to give to drink, or you're not allowed to shecht those animals that are called midboreis, which means they belong to a private person, but they are typically out in the desert, out in the fields, in the forests, and they never come into the town, and therefore before Shabbos, out of sight, out of mind, and they're muktza. Ein mashkin, and if they happen to come into town on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to shecht them, they're muktza. Aval mashkin v'shechtin es habaisyos, but you're allowed to give to drink and to shecht those animals that are baisyos, that are domesticated, which means even though during the day they may be out of the town, but they come back overnight. And since they are domestic animals, a person had in mind from beginning of Yom Tov that he may shecht it on Yom Tov, and therefore it's not muktza. So you see here clearly, this Mishnah says that if it's been set aside from before Yom Tov, it's muktza. And this is not following Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon. It's an anonymous Mishnah. So we again have a question with Rabbi Yochanan. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, stoma achrina ashkech. You're right, Rabbi Yochanan says. You have a Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda. But I have another anonymous Mishnah that rules like Rabbi Shimon. We learnt in a Mishnah, Beis Shammai Oimrim Magbihin Me'al HaShulchan. We saw this previously. This was a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, that Beis Shammai hold, you're allowed to remove from on the table, that somo is the bones and the clipping and the shells of the nuts, they're not mukta. Ubeshilil oimrim, masalik esatavlo kula umanara. You're not allowed to touch the bones or the shells. You can take the whole tavlo, the whole board, and shake it off. Vomer of Nachman. Rav Nachman said, onu ein lonu elo beis shamai krib yud, ubeshilil krib shimon. Rav Nachman said that we have a rule. We have a tradition, and we discussed this when we learned this previously, that Beis Shammai is the one who says the first halacha, that it's osa. Beis Hillel is the one that says the first halacha, that it's not mukta, because Beis Hillel holds like Reb Shimon, and the second halacha, which says masalik is atavlo, which means it's mukta, that's Beis Shammai, not Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai follows Reb Yehuda. So if I have an explicit Mishnah that says that Beis Shammai rules like Reb Shimon, then either Beis Hillel is called. If I have an explicit Mishnah, Beis Hillel holds like Reb Shimon, then an explicit Mishnah of Beis Hillel is considered like an anonymous Mishnah, like Reb Shimon, and others say it's even more than an anonymous Mishnah, and therefore if Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a Mishnah that says that Beis Hillel rules like Reb Shimon, then even if you have an anonymous Mishnah that rules like Reb Yehuda, the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Continues the Gemara. Pligi bor of Acha v'Ravina. There's a machlekes. This is a machlekes of Acha and Ravina. Chad Omar b'kol haShabbos kulo halacha k'Reb Shimon lebar mimukta machmas mius. One of them holds that all of Hilchas Shabbos the halacha is like Reb Shimon, and we're lenient to mukta. Besides for mukta machmas mius, so there mukta machmas mius, we rule that it is mukta. Umayniu, what's the case of mukta machmas mius? It's repulsive, and therefore, since it's so repulsive, it is mukta. Neir yosh on an old lamp, then old lamp, you're not allowed to use it for anything on Shabbos because it's repulsive, it's mukta machmas mius. That's what one manda omar holds. V'chad omar, the other opinion holds, but mukta machmas mius nam yalocha k'Reb Shimon. That locha is like Reb Shimon, even by mukta machmas mius, that it's not mukta. Where do we not hold like Reb Shimon? Lebar mi mukta machmas isur. If it's been set aside, if the reason that it's been out of mind is not because it's repulsive and not because you happen to have wanted to use it for something else, which we've been discussing all along, but here because there was an issa when Shabbos came in, there was an issa to do anything else with it. Umay knew, what is that? Neiru sheid liku baba issa Shabbos, a lamp, which was a light when Shabbos came in, and this lamp, you're not allowed to do anything with it when Shabbos came in because it's lit, and you're not allowed to move it, and that's even according to Reb Shimon. So there we say that it's mukta, and even though according to Reb Shimon, after the light goes out, it will not be mukta. The halacha is that it's mukta in that case. Aval mukta machmas chisaron kis. But if something which is mukta machmas chisaron kis, which means that its value is such that a person would never use it for anything besides for what it's been set aside to be used for. Afilu Reb Shimon moide there, even Reb Shimon himself agrees that it's muktzah. Ditnan kol hakelim nitlim b'Shabbos, because we have an explicit Mishnah that says that all kelim are not muktzah on Shabbos. And this is Reb Shimon. Chutz besides from meser hagodol, a very big saw, v'yosech el machresha, and the knife part of the plow. That there, even since it's muktzah machmas b'chisar on kis, nobody would ever use these for anything besides for what they've been set aside to be used for, and therefore even Reb Shimon agrees that it's muktzah. And that was the machlokes of Acha and Ravina as to how far we paskin the halacha, how far do we go with Reb Yehuda, and how far do we go with Reb Shimon. Says the next Mishnah, Mafirin Nedorim b'Shabbos. If somebody makes a vow, a neder, a promise on Shabbos, there's a concept called hafara, which means if a woman makes a neder, her husband can nullify the neder, even on Shabbos. V'nish'olim l'nedorim shehein l'tzayrach Shabbos. Another way of nullifying a neder is if anybody makes a neder, they can go to Beis Din or to a chacham, and the chacham can undo the, you can release the legal obligation of the shvua. And you're allowed to do that on Shabbos on condition that it's Tzayrach Shabbos. If somebody made a neder that he's not going to benefit from eating on Shabbos and it's going to affect his Shabbos, then you can go to a chacham and be shoyl on the neder. You can try and release the legal obligation of the neder with the halachas of nedorim, which we're not learning now, but only on condition that it's l'tzayrach Shabbos. If it's not needed for Shabbos, then the Chachomim said, do not do Hatoras Nedorim on Shabbos, wait till after Shabbos to release the neder. And we're going to see in the Gemara whether the first part of the first three words of the Mishnah, Mefirim Nedorim b'Shabbos, which is a halacha unique to husbands, is that also only if it's needed for Shabbos, or not. Because one of the fundamental differences between haforas nedorim, which a husband does, and hatoras nedorim, which a chacham does, is that the husband is only allowed to nullify the neder if he does it on that day, the day that she made the neder. So waiting till after Shabbos, it may be too late. However, b'hatoras nedorim, you can do it any time later, and therefore it makes much more sense to say that you're only allowed to do hatoras nedorim on Shabbos if it's l'tzayrach Shabbos. We'll see that in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Upoikakin es hamo'ir, one's allowed to stop up, to block up a window, if there's a need for that on Shabbos. And obviously, complying with what we've seen previously in the Gemara, on Daf Kuf Chof Hei, as to when and how you're allowed to block up a window. Umoydudin es hamatlis, and you're allowed to measure the size of a rag, when there's a halachic ramification to that, when you need to know whether it's large enough to have become tomei. If this rag touched something tomei and then touched tohir food, you want to know, is the food tohir or tomei? You have to know, was the rag big enough? Was it gimel tzbois al gimel tzbois or not? You're allowed to measure it on Shabbos. Another halacha, umoydudin es hamikvah, if one wants to know whether mikvah is full enough, is big enough, is kosher, you're allowed to measure the mikvah on Shabbos.
There
was a story where they blocked up a window in a wall with a clay flask, and they tied a clay vessel begemi on a thread of reed grass to know whether the crack in the barrel was a tefach wide, imlav, or not. And obviously, this doesn't make sense. It's just code. We will see in the Gemara exactly what the story was. Umidivrem lomadnu, and from there we saw, number one, shepoikikin, you're allowed to block up a window on Shabbos if necessary. Umoydudin, number two, you're allowed to measure on Shabbos if necessary. V'koishrin, and you're allowed to tie a knot. Obviously, it's got to be a knot which is not a permanent knot, because otherwise it would be kosher min ha-Torah. V'koshin b'Shabbos, you're allowed to do these things on Shabbos if necessary. And we'll see in the Gemara what the story was. Says the Gemara, Iboyeluhu, hafora, in the first words in the Mishnah, mefirin nedorim b'Shabbos, if a husband wants to nullify a shvua, a neder that his wife made. Hafora bein l'tzayrach, bein sheloi l'tzayrach. Do we say that hafora, that the husband does, is irrespective of whether it's Letzeirich Shabbos, even if it's not Letzeirich Shabbos, since time is of essence and he cannot do the Haforah the next day, he's allowed to do the Haforah even on Shabbos. V'sha'ayla, but doing the Hatoras Nadorim with the Chochem, Letzeirich in, Shaloi Letzeirich Loi, you're only allowed to do it if it's Letzeirich Shabbos. U'mishum hochi k'mefliginu me'hadodi, and that would explain why the Mishnah actually splits them up. It doesn't say Mefirim Nadorim, it doesn't say Mefirim v'nish'olim Nadorim b'Shabbos Letzeirich Shabbos in one sentence. No, the Mishnah makes it into two sentences. Mefirim Nadorim b'Shabbos. And then v'nish olim l'nedorim shem l'tzeirich Shabbos. The reason the Mishnah splits them up is to teach us exactly this: that mefirim nedorim b'Shabbos is even if it's shelay l'tzeirich Shabbos. V'nish olim l'nedorim shehin l'tzeirich Shabbos, only if they're l'tzeirich Shabbos. That was one side of the question. The other side is oydilma, maybe not. Maybe hafora nami l'tzeirich in shelay l'tzeirich loy. Maybe also hafora and also hatora, the shaila to the chacham, is only Letzeirich Shabbos. If so, why didn't the Mishnah write it in one sentence? V'hoduko palgi luhu me'adodi. The reason the Mishnah split the two up is mishum dehafora ein tzorich beizdin, is in order to remind us and teach us there are fundamental differences between hafora and she'ela to the chacham. Hafora doesn't need a beizdin. Any husband can do haforas nedarim, can nullify the neder. V'she'elo, however, to release the legal obligation via a chacham or a beis din, tzricha beis din needs a beis din, it needs a chacham, in order to tell us that, to remember these are separate, it puts the halacha separately. But the halacha is the same halacha that you're only allowed to do on Shabbos if it's letzeirich Shabbos. That's the question they asked. Let's try and find some proofs. Toshima, detoni zuto de beir of papa. And the others say it's Rav Zutra, the Beir of Papa, the Beir of Poppy, Mefirin Nedorim B'Shabbos L'Tzeirich HaShabbos. He said explicitly that Haforas Nedorim, which the husband does, is only L'Tzeirich Shabbos. L'Tzeirich Shabbos in, Sheloi L'Tzeirich Shabbos Loi. So you see from there that if it's not L'Tzeirich Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Lishnachrena, there was another version to this. Iboy Elohu, L'Tzeirich Atarvayu K'toni. Is the words when it says Shehein Letzeirich Shabbos, is it going on both cases, also on Mefirin, also on Ish'olim? V'shaloi Letzeirich Loi, but if it's not Letzeirich Shabbos, then even the husband is not allowed to nullify the neder. Alma, if so, Haforas Nedorim Me'eis Le'eis. We take it for granted that it cannot be a situation where a woman makes a neder, even if it's Shehein Letzeirich Shabbos, and the husband cannot nullify it. The Torah says a husband can nullify it. It's true the Chachomim said you shouldn't do Haforas Nedorim on Shabbos, and you shouldn't do Haforas Nedorim on Shabbos if you can avoid it. But it cannot be that the husband is stuck and he cannot do Haforas Nedorim. So there's a question. The Torah says the husband is allowed to do the Haforas Nedorim. He can nullify the neder only by Yoim Shamoya, the day that he heard the neder. Now, if he heard on Shabbos, what does it mean the day? Does it mean until nightfall? Or does it mean 24 hours from when he heard? If it's 24 hours, then even though you heard on Shabbos, you can nullify the neder after Shabbos. It's always going to be within 24 hours. So if so, but however, if you can only do it till the end of the day, then you'll never be able to nullify a neder that the husband heard about on Shabbos after Shabbos. If so, the Chachomim will allow the husband to do Haforas Nedorim even on Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara is saying now. If you assume that a husband can only do Haforas Nedorim on Shabbos, Letzeirich Shabbos, and Shelo Letzeirich Shabbos not, it must be that we hold that a husband can nullify a neder for a full 24-hour period, and therefore he could, those Nedorim that are not Letzeirich Shabbos, he can nullify after Shabbos. He holds Haforas Nedorim Me'eis Le'eis. Oy Dilma, the other side of the question was, Kikatoni Letzeirich, when the Mishnah says you can only do Haforas Nedorim on Shabbos, on Letzeirich Shabbos, is only by the Sha'ila, only when you're doing it with the Chochem. Asha'ila hu duktoni, av Haforas Nedorim, but the Haforas Nedorim of the husband, afilu shelo Letzeirich, he can do it on Shabbos even if the Neder is not Letzeirich Shabbos. Alma, it must be Aforas Nedarim Kol Hayoim. It must be that Aforas Nedarim is only until the end of the day, until the end of Shabbos. So there's never an opportunity of doing Aforas Nedarim after Shabbos. Therefore, they have to allow the husband to do Aforas Nedarim on Shabbos, even if the neder is not needed, is not negeh, is not relevant to Shabbos. That was the question in the Gemara. Toshema, we're going to try and bring proof. According to this version, the Tanya of Zuti of the Meir of Papa, Mefirim Nedarim b'Shabbos l'Tzayrich Shabbos. A husband is only allowed to nullify a neder if it's l'Tzayrich Shabbos. L'Tzayrich Shabbos in shele l'Tzayrich Shabbos loy. Alma foras Nedarim me'es le'es. From the very source that we saw even before, that the husband is only allowed to do a foras Nedarim if it's l'Tzayrich Shabbos. So in the first version, we just saw it as a straightforward halacha, the husband cannot do aforas nedarim sheloy letzeirich Shabbos on Shabbos. According to this second version, a second halacha we learn from there is it must be that he can do it after Shabbos, which means that a husband can always nullify a neder for a full 24-hour period. Continues the Gemara Omer Vashi, Va'anantanan, we learned in the Mishnah, haforas nedarim kol hayoim. We learnt explicitly a husband can do aforas nedarim only until the end of the day, not for a 24-hour period. Yesh b'dabo lahokil. Sometimes you have a lot of time to do that aforas nedarim. For example, if the husband heard that his wife made a neder a few minutes into the beginning of Shabbos, then he can do aforas nedarim until the end of Shabbos. Ulahachmir. And sometimes you only have a very short amount of time. If he heard that his wife made a neder 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos, you can only do aforas nedarim for 5 minutes, l'tzeirich Shabbos. So the truth is, this is not only about Shabbos. This is always. Any time the husband hears, he has till the end of the day. Sometimes it's more time. Sometimes it's less time. Ketzad, nodro lele Shabbos. If she made the neder as soon as Shabbos came in, mefer, he can nullify the neder. Lele Shabbos, the whole lel Shabbos. V'yema Shabbos, and the whole Shabbos. Achetechshach, until the end of Shabbos, till it gets dark. Nodra im chashecha. But if she made the neder a few minutes before Matzah Shabbos, mefer acheloi techshach, he can only do that for us nedarim until the end of the day. Shem loy tofer mishechashecha eino yochei lehofer. If he doesn't do that for us nedarim before it gets dark, after it gets dark, he can no longer do hafor us nedarim. So here we have an explicit Mishnah in Nedarim that says that hafor us nedarim is only till the end of the day. And according to the second version we saw in the Gemara before, that would mean that the husband is allowed to do aforas nedarim on Shabbos, even shloi letzeirich Shabbos. And that doesn't work with according to what we saw from Zoti Debeir of Papa. Says the Gemara, you're right. Tanoihi. It's a machlekes tanoim. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, aforas nedarim kol hayoim. Like we saw in that Mishnah in Nedarim, that you can only do aforas Nedarim till the end of the day. Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer ber Shimon, Amru me'es le'es. They hold you can do it for a full 24-hour period. So according to them, you can do aforas Nedarim on Shabbos only if it's L'Tzeirich Shabbos. If it's not L'Tzeirich Shabbos, wait for the aforas Nedarim till after Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'nish olin l'Nedarim. We saw that you're allowed to release the legal obligation of a neder if it's letzeirich Shabbos. Iboy elohu, kesheloi hoye loy pnai, oidilma afilu hoye loy pnai. What happens if it's letzeirich Shabbos? But you could have gone to the Chacham before Shabbos to release the neder, and you didn't go. Are you still allowed to go to the Chacham, even if it's letzeirich Shabbos on Shabbos? Says the Gemara Toshima, I will try and bring proof. Diz dakiku lei rabbonon, Rav Zutra, the Raider of Zera, they got involved with, the Chachomim got involved with Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zera, v'sharu le nodre, and they released his neder, v'afal gav dehava le p'nai. Even though we knew that he had time before Shabbos to do it, nonetheless, they, since it was a Tzairach Shabbos, they nullified his neder even on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah mentioned a story that Maisa b'me Avisha Reb Tzadok b'me Abba Shaul ben Bitnis shepokeku es amoyer. And we saw a whole interesting story which the Mishnah wrote to us in code. Back in the days when all the people knew the Mishnayos by heart, it was written this way, it was easier for them to remember it, and everybody knew what the Mishnah meant. But the Gemara has to explain it to us because we don't know what it means. Shepokeku es amoyer betafiach v'koshru es amakido begemi. Let's see the story. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav. Hilkati, there was a very narrow alleyway between two homes. Hilkati ktano hoiso ben shnei batim, between two homes. V'tum hoiso sham, there was a dead person, or a kazayas of a dead person, that was in this alleyway between the two homes. It was a very narrow alleyway. V'gigis sduka munachas al gabon. And there was a barrel that was roofed on top of it. Between the two houses, on top of the mace, there was a barrel sitting on top of it, but the barrel was actually got a split in it. It was cracked. And the halacha is as follows. Tumas mace, the rule is it goes all the way up, straight up, if it can. If there's a roof on top of it, then the tumah goes to the sides and will find any entrance. So if you have a window in the wall on the side, a typical window where there's a tumah next to it, if the tumah can raise up to the sky, there's no roof on it, then the tumah will not go into the windows, into the homes, or into the other rooms. If, however, there's a roof on top of it, and the tumah cannot escape, so to speak, then the tumah will go through the windows. Now, how do we know if the tumah goes up? If the mace, or at least if part of the mace, kazayis min ha-mace, is underneath a hole that's a tefach by tefach square, then the tumah goes all the way up and will not go into the windows. Here we had a barrel that was a roof on top of this kazayis min ha-mace. If the crack in this barrel was a tefach wide, then the tumah would escape all the way up and the tumah would not go into the homes through the windows. Underneath this barrel, on the walls of the house, there was a window. If, however, the crack is less than a tefach al tefach, then the tumah will not be able to escape. It will go into the window, into the homes. The gigis duka munachas al gabon, there was a cracked barrel roofing on top of the mace. Upokaku es ha-mo'ir b'tafiach. The first thing they did was they blocked up, and this was before the person died, before that mace died or before the kazayis came, they blocked up the window with a clay vessel. And we know that the halacha with earthenware is that the outside, the back, the bottom of a kli cheres cannot become tomei, can only become tomei from the inside. So they wedged a kli, a vessel, an earthenware vessel, a clay vessel, into the window with the back of that kli protruding beyond the window, which means that the kli, which is blocking up this window, cannot become tomei because it's the back of an earthenware kli. So the tumah will not be able to go into the house. And then what did they do then? Pokaku es ha-mo'ir b'tafiach. They closed the window with this tafiach, this clay utensil. V'koshru es ha-mekido. A mekido is another type of a clay vessel, which is exactly a tefach by a tefach large. They tied it, begemi, with a thread made of this reed grass. And later, they wanted to see whether this mekida, this tefach by tefach utensil, will it fit through the hole in the barrel on top of the mace? They wanted to test. If this mekida will fit through, then we know that the hole in the barrel is large enough to allow the tumah to escape. And then the tumah will not go into the house, so they could unblock the window. If this mekida would not fit through the barrel, through the hole of the barrel, that would mean that the barrel, the hole is too small, the tumah would not escape, and therefore the tumah would go into the house if you were to remove the stopper. So the koshru is a mekida begemi, leidaim yesham begigis poseach tefachim lav, to know whether there was a tefach in the barrel. And that's what the Mishnah says. Let's read the Mishnah again. They blocked up the window b'tafiach with a clay flask. The kosher is a makido, and they took a clay vessel and tied it begemi with the reed grass. Leida, to know him yesh begigis, whether there's the crack in the barrel, peseach tefach, is the size of a tefach, imlav or not. Now we understand what the Mishnah said. And the Mishnah continues, medivreim lomadnu, from that story we can see that poikakin, you're allowed to block up a window on Shabbos, and according to the halachas of blocking up windows that we've seen previously, umaydidin, and you're allowed to measure on Shabbos to see how wide the hole is, the koshin, and you're allowed to tie, not a keshesh el kayoma. That's why they use the reed grass. They use the reed grass because it's something which, number one, it's animal food, it's not mukta. Number two, it's not a keshesh el kayoma, it's not a permanent knot, because it's going to dry up and it will not be permanent, it's going to open up on its own. But Shabbos, you can do these things on Shabbos, since there was a halachic reason that we wanted to find out the halachic status of what's going on here, you were allowed to do that on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Midivreim lomadnu shapoikakinu moidudin v'koishim b'Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ula ikla lebei resh gelusa. Ula was visiting the resh gelusa, the head of the Golus. Chazya l'rabba baravuna de Yosef ba'avno de Maya. He saw Rabba Baravuna that was sitting in a tub of water. V'komoshachle, and he was measuring it. Nobody knows why he was measuring it. It's not a mikveh, it's a kli. It's a vessel, it's utensil, it can't be used as a mikveh, it's a tub. But he was measuring it. Omar Le, so Ula said to him, Eimer de Omar Abonon, Medida de Mitzvah, de Lav Mitzvah mi Omar, why are you measuring the water? If it's a mitzvah to measure, as we saw in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to measure the mikveh, you're allowed to measure the size of an exit to see whether the tumah can escape or not, you're allowed to measure the size of a rag to see whether it can be covered tumah, that's the tzairich mitzvah, you have halachas. But just to measure water, you're allowed to measure on Shabbos? Omrar Le, he said to him, Misasik ba'al mano, I have no interest, I don't need to know how much it is, I'm just passing the time, just being misasik in passing, and I'm not really measuring the water. Hadron aloch mishehichshich, b'siyata deshmai, we finished perek mishehichshich, mitz Hashem, we're going to chazor on perek mishehichshich, v'slika lo maseches Shabbos, b'siyata deshmai, we finished learning maseches Shabbos, and in mitz Hashem, we're going to do chazor of maseches Shabbos, and in mitz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to start maseches Eruvin.